Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 206. I'm in your head.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host. He used to compete in POG tournaments. Pat Flynn.
Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. Indeed works fast, like really fast. In fact, by the time this ad's over, 23 hires will have been made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Look, hiring's hard enough, so don't make it harder on yourself. Indeed makes it so easy to manage it all in one place, from initial screenings to messagings, interviewing candidates. You can do it all right from Indeed with no extra apps involved. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now. Support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over 1 million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. Hey, what's up, everybody? Pat Flynn here. Thank you so much for joining me in session 206 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. I appreciate you being here. Apologize about the whisper in the beginning. I realize how creepy that might be. But anyway, we have a great guest today. His name is Robert Duff. You can find him at duffthepsych.com, P-S-Y-C-H, like psychologist, because that's what he is. That's what he does. And he's generating a passive income by publishing books on Amazon, Kindle books, audiobooks, and all those sorts of things. We get into strategy. We talk about why he's doing this, how well it's doing. We get into some numbers. And just to show you, I mean, it's really cool because he's not the super marketing expert. He even admits that on the show, but he's doing really well. And he's building this great base business for himself with these books on Amazon. A lot of you know, I recently, last month, published a book myself, and I plan on doing more. And for those of you who are interested in that, it is a way for you to produce a passive income. It's a lot of work to write a book, but we get into the production of the books as well and how Robert positioned himself in a space where there are books already on the same topics, but how he was able to stand out and just really knock it out of the park. It's a great story. So without further ado, here's Robert Duff from DuffThePsych.com. Here he is. What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining me. And I am here with Robert Duff, PhD, as it says on his Twitter account, at Duff the Psych. Man, Robert, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Pat. This is a little surreal. It's pretty cool to be on the show.
No, I appreciate you being here. And actually, I wanted to talk really quick about the way you reached out to me. It was nice because you actually reached out to me via Twitter. And we had a conversation about the show and kind of what you were up to. And you were a perfect fit because a lot of people know that I'm looking for, and I don't want to say you're a regular person. That's how you mentioned it on the direct message. But, I'm looking for stories from people who are making it work for themselves online who aren't necessarily the A-listers, as we all have come to know, in the online space. And you're definitely one of those people, Robert. So I'm happy to share your story. And for anybody else out there who's listening, if you have a story where you're making it work online, or even if you aren't and you're looking for some help. I mean, I know in previous episodes like 186, I talk about how I'm looking for stories where I can help people through consultation and that sort of stuff. But anyway, there's a lot of ways that we could potentially work together for those of you listening and myself. Just keep those ideas flowing and keep those emails and those messages coming. I'm always looking to inspire and feature awesome people on the show. So Robert, why don't you talk a little bit about kind of why you, not just why you reached out, but what you felt you had to offer in this particular episode here today.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so you're right. I'm one of the mere mortals. I represent the contingent of people that I think can use passive income as a boost and as kind of an add-on to supplement, other income. Mm-hmm. My background's in psychology. So I recently got my doctorate in psychology in 2015. And there's a lot of struggle built into pursuing a degree in psychology. There's a lot of different steps that you have to go through. It's kind of like becoming a medical doctor, where you have to do a lot of work for not so much money eventually. Yeah. And I think that integrating passive income has really opened me up to help even more, because I'm not so concerned about putting food on the table, making rent and things like that, which I think is a really big trap that people in this field fall into. So it really opens me up to do that more flexibly, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. And then in terms of, how you initially got started with the generating passive income, can you tell us how you got into that? I mean, did that stem off of what you do in the psych world, or where did it all start?
Well, I've always been a bit of a hustler, so to speak, in that regard of just wanting to have other sources of income. And I've listened to your podcast since pretty early on, in the early days of SPI. And so it's always been in the back of my mind, where people in my cohort were talking about, people in the field of psychology. I'm talking about, Pat Flynn, Gary Vee, Tim Ferriss, people like this. And they're like, who?
That's awesome.
And so it's something that's always been there for me. And I decided at one point to pursue kind of passive income in general, and I wanted to find out what that would be later on. So I've tried a few things that have failed throughout the years, different blogs and YouTube channels and things like that. But in 2014, later in the year, I was having a conversation with my wife, and I was explaining a psychological concept to her. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I was explaining it in language that was very normal, kind of just dude language, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Dude language. That's totally my language.
Yeah. And I mean, well, you're from San Diego, so you get it.
Yeah, dude.
and I realized that's something that I've always been good at. And I've been told that in therapy, for instance, with clients of mine, by other professionals, that I have a good way of taking complex concepts and talking about them like a normal person. And she was like, you should make a book like that. And so I was like, well, there's nothing really stopping me from it, so let's do it. And about a week and a half later, I had my book out.
A week and a half later?
Yeah.
Wow.
I pounded it out. It's not a long book. You know, it's short, but it's dense. And I was just, I had the high, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're going to get into that and how you accomplished that. But I want to rewind a little bit back to when you first wanted to get into passive income, all these experiments and things that you did that failed. What were, if you don't mind sharing, some of those things, and why do you think they failed?
Well, you know, they were just feelers. You know, I wasn't really serious about it, and I didn't really have an idea that, you know, I wasn't gauging any audience interest or anything like that. I didn't even have an audience quite yet. So I had done some things. One of the things I had done throughout grad school was actually bartended, which is a little bit unusual as well. And so I was like I made like a mixology blog that I was putting Google AdWords ads on, and, you know, that didn't really go anywhere. Mm-hmm. I had a podcast for a while that was actually, it's totally unrelated. It's not around anymore. I've let it kind of pod fade out, but it was about homelessness, and I interviewed homeless people on the street. And that was pretty early on. Yeah, it was pretty intense. And that was something that I never intended to make necessarily income off of, except to maybe keep it going. But all of these things kind of gave me different lessons. Through that, I gathered more about video, audio recording, mm-hmm. you know, through this other experience, I learned more about blogging. And they're all kind of stepping stones along the way. And coming in, all that was right at the beginning of grad school, which was about a 5-year period. And coming into the beginning of grad school, I had all this background in those things, which no one else in my cohort really had. So it kind of set me up in a way to naturally transition into something that's working out better for me now.
Yeah, no, I love that. You've kind of learned these skills that you then incorporated into what you do now. And that, on top of what I would like to assume is your unfair advantage in this space, it's created a nice combo for you into what you do now. So if somebody were to ask you, you know, in terms of what you do here for online business, like, what do you do? What is it that you do? How are you generating an income?
Through eBooks right now. I have a book series out. It's called Hardcore Self-Help. And I wrote one book about anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I'm about to release another one about depression. And it's basically it's like an anti-self-help book. So I describe it as a self-help book for people that hate self-help books. So instead of talking in deep psychological terms about why, you know, things are going on, I say why your brain is a jerk and how you can kind of beat it into submission in different ways and, you know, talk very colloquially like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I have a book out. It was released in September 2014, and I started off with just a Kindle ebook.
Okay.
And then I recorded an audiobook myself with it. So I did that through ACX, the Audible Exchange. And then eventually I updated it to a second edition and released it through CreateSpace. And that's really where things have kind of blossomed from.
Okay. So for those of us who don't know, can you explain what ACX is and this audio stuff? And then we'll get into also, well, what is CreateSpace? Because I know there's a lot of people who might not know what that is. So the audio first. So Kindle, I think a lot of people understand. You wrote an ebook, published it on Amazon. What is this next step that you took? Audiobook? What did that all entail?
Yeah. So like you said, Kindle is pretty self-explanatory. You could upload a Word document and have a book the next day, pretty much. The Audible one, I kind of just looked into it. I Googled Audible, saw how it was done. And you have different options to upload an audiobook. So you can hire somebody to do it. And I believe that they have the structures in place on Audible's website to help you do that. Mm-hmm. But there's another option where you can record it yourself. If I remember correctly, you tried to do that first for your book too, right? Your first book?
Yes. I have an audiobook, but it's not published through Audible. It was an initial offering on audiobooks.com,
gotcha.
Which is separate than Audible. But mm-hmm. in the future, or at the time of this recording, in the future, my book, Will It Fly, will be on Audible, if not already.
Yeah. The cool thing about so Audible, the ACX, like I refer to, it's called the Audible Creator Exchange, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it gives you the option to upload your own file. So it gives you the guidelines, tells you how much, you know, white noise you need at the beginning, exactly what files you need to put together to and what bitrate and all that stuff. So it's a little dense if you don't have any audio background. But like I was saying, those previous experiences kind of set me up to be able to do that. And I just used a a mic that's a little bit worse than the one I'm using now. So I'm actually thinking about updating it at some point. It was just a Blue Snowball mic that I got from some creepy dude on Craigslist for pretty cheap. And I used that, and I used a pop filter that I got off of eBay for like $5 or something like that. And I just locked myself in my closet where there was good audio and busted it out.
Nice. I love that. And so in terms of the audiobook and the upload of it, are you saying that anybody could upload any audio and essentially have that become a book? Or does it have to be something that is the same as something that's on Amazon already?
I think they're independent. I think you can upload an audiobook by itself. It doesn't have to be matched to a Kindle book. They have to approve it, obviously. There's a kind of submission process that's a little bit longer than it is for Kindle, where they review it. They'll give you feedback if you need to fix anything. For instance, I needed to put more like room noise in my recording so that they could use their own compression for it. But after that, I think that it's open to things that aren't already existing as a book. But the good thing about it, and we'll talk more about CreateSpace as well, but the good thing about it is that through Audible, it is an Amazon product. So they're linked. You know, when you look for my book, you see available in 3 versions on Amazon.
Kindle, the audiobook, and then the paperback book, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then that goes into what CreateSpace allows you to do is the paperback stuff. Can you talk a little bit about and help us educate people in dude language what CreateSpace is?
It's amazing is what it is. It's basically, it gets your book into print and you don't have to hold any inventory. So it's what's called print on demand. Basically, they have their little elves that work for them. And whenever somebody wants to buy a print version of your book, those little elves put it into paper, ship it out of the factory directly to the consumer. So you don't have to carry any inventory, and you actually don't have to buy anything. You just upload the document, and Kindle or Amazon rather takes a certain percentage out of that for every sale.
And what is the percentage?
You know, it varies. I don't remember off the top of my head, because if you order directly from CreateSpace, you get the highest royalty off of it. If it's ordered through Amazon.com, it's slightly less. And if it's ordered through other distribution channels that they push out to, so for instance, you could go to BarnesandNoble.com and buy my print book, it's a little bit less than that. So every step along the way, there's a little bigger cut that's taken out.
Okay. And then
you
had mentioned earlier that CreateSpace was amazing in terms of where everything changed for you and your business. Can you talk in terms of why that was so important?
Yeah. One thing that is really interesting that happened, you know, I had these worries that maybe putting out the audiobook or putting out the print book would somehow detract from people downloading the ebook, but really kind of tripling down on it helped each separate one. So my ebook sales went up, my audiobook sales went up, and the print sales, you know, kind of exploded. And one thing that I think contributed to that was the print book seems to have a different interaction with Amazon, sort of whatever you want to call it, their SEO, you know, how their search engine works. Mm-hmm. So that if you go to Amazon.com, just plain old Amazon.com, and search for anxiety, my book became the first result entirely. So, and I think that happened after the print book came out.
Ah, okay. So there was like a little bit more in the Amazon system that showed them that this was like something worth putting closer to
the
top.
Yeah. And I'm no SEO expert or anything like that, but it seems like they reward the interconnectedness of it. The more, you know, each of these books are pointing to each other and it's more available. Even the SEO on Google, as I searched for it, became, you know, stronger and stronger as I was putting out these other versions of the book. So it really helped bump it up there. And it's just been amazing because I realized that people still want print books. I didn't think that when I first put the ebook out, but people totally do. I make more from the print book now than the ebook. And that was a huge surprise for me.
That's awesome. Would you be able to share a ballpark of kind of what kind of income you're making from these sources?
Yeah. You know, like I said, I'm not, you know, one of the A-listers, but it's definitely helping out. And I could say that, you know, I come from a pretty humble background. I grew up very humble. And the reason I've always been a hustler, you know, is because I've always, I just have an ingrained sense that I need to make sure that I have money because I've struggled for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of amazing to think that I have an automatic rent payer now, which is, it's just crazy. My biggest month was this past month, December, biggest month that I've had. And I made $5,000 from the book in that month.
Across all the different channels put together?
Right. So I made like 3,000 something from CreateSpace, like 500 something from Audible, and then, you know, the rest of it from the ebook on Kindle.
And then is that profit you're talking about too?
That's total. Yeah. You know, so you have to do your own work with the taxes and stuff like that, because they just give it to you straight up unless you specify otherwise.
Okay. But that's after Amazon royalties taken away already.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. So that's pretty darn good. Yeah. Robert, you're doing a great job. I think a lot of people would be very happy with, you know, you had started that answer with like, oh, you know, I'm not one of the, like, I wasn't really sure what number you were going to share, but that's incredible. Although I know a lot of people would, you know, just a few hundred extra dollars would do a lot for them.
And in a normal, you know, so like I said, that was my biggest month. It's definitely calmed down since then. It was the holiday that bumped that up, but I'm regularly making 2,000-3,000 from it. And like I said, you know, that to know that if I was quote unquote unemployed right now and I had no income, I would still be able to pay my rent is like a huge weight lifted off my shoulders.
Oh, I bet. I'm sure. And then a follow-up question I have is, okay, so you put out this book and, you know, you're telling me these numbers, which are great. How did you get people to find the book? Mm-hmm. Where did that happen? How did that come about?
So a few different ways. You know, one thing that I knew going into it, just from my own sense of it, was that the title, it's a bit provocative. You know, I didn't share the whole title on here because I don't want to get bleeped out, but there's a swear word in it. It's bleeped out in the title. So it's basically F anxiety. And I knew that would be something that caught people's attention. And there's a certain virality to it that you would want to share with other people. So I knew that there would be a component of that to it if it went well. Mm-hmm. And then I did everything that I could aside from that to start, you know, getting it out to people. So I started with my own network of friends and family. And I also, I have a YouTube channel that's, you know, kind of unrelated, well, slightly related. It's more like relaxation videos and different things like that. And I had, at that time, a fairly big audience. I think it was at the time of release, probably like 50,000 subscribers on there. And it's a bit bigger now, but I found ways to integrate what I was doing with this book into the channel. So I would do something that fit with them, such as like a softly spoken reading of a chapter or something like that to introduce that channel to my product, right? So I try to find a way to make it fit. And I tried to build up as much as I could, convert them to an email list and things like that, so that when it did get released, I would have a bump of people who were buying it and reviewing it. And it totally worked out in that way.
Oh, that's cool. And then, you know, at what point did you realize that this was actually going to be, you know, something that was going to be successful for you? Was it the day after you published on Kindle, or was it the audiobook CreateSpace? At what point in the journey were you like, wow, this is working for me?
You know, honestly, probably nothing to do with money. Probably when I started getting feedback from people, because I put, you know, the cool thing about ebooks and this whole, you know, going away from like textbooks, which is what other people in my field tend to look towards, you can be very interactive. I put in my book, hey, tweet at me or send me an email with the subject line feedback and tell me how this went for you and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so when I started getting feedback from people that said, you know, like, oh my God, you know, my life's changed. I was at my wit's end and all of the texts that I've read have been so complicated that my anxious brain couldn't even begin. And then I got your book and I read it in one sitting and now I feel hopeful. You know, that it gave me chills. I got a chill right now thinking about
That's
it,
cool.
You know? And I think that's where I realized that there's something there. And then, of course, you know, a few months down the line when I was kind of doing our budgeting for the month and I sat down with my wife and I'm like, hey, this is part of our income now. We're actually like, we don't have to worry about rent this month because of that. And on top of that, you know, all my normal job and things like that, we don't have to stress about it. Right. And so that was kind of a realization. And we were kind of tentative at first, like, okay, well, you know, it could be a fluke. It could be, you know, kind of a boom and bust thing, but it's growing. It's still growing right now. You know, every month is better than the last for the most part. So yeah, it's real.
That's cool. And thank you for sharing, you know, all those feelings and thoughts that came along with it. And then, you know, I wanted to go back to something that you mentioned in the beginning was the fact that you had just taken a week and a half to write this book. And yes, you said it was a little bit shorter than normal, but you know, I know from my own experience that the book writing process can be quite challenging. And so I'm curious to know how you learned to write a book. What did you do? What made you so productive and efficient with the writing of the book which I know is a lot of things, you know, a big reason why people don't write a book is just it's such a scary thing. How did you do it?
You know, I took it one step at a time. The initial chapters flew out of me. Like, you know, they just flew out of me. You know, my fingers couldn't type fast enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like the first two or three chapters. And then I kind of sat down and outlined the whole thing. You know, I did something very similar to your post-it technique, you know, where mm-hmm. you kind of go through and outline the whole thing in a visual way. And from there, it was just about finding time where I could. And I certainly didn't have a huge overabundance of time. You have to realize that when I wrote this book, I have no business writing a book when I did, because it was during my doctoral internship. So my pre-doc internship, which is a full-time 40-hour a week. You know, I'm basically a working psychologist in a busy healthcare setting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 rather, I'm there at the office, but between patients, over my lunch break, if I had a cancellation, you know, when I got home in bed on the iPad, kind of just fitting it in wherever I could bit by bit. And then on the weekends, kind of going hard on it when I could get to a coffee shop or something like that. And it didn't take too long to get the whole thing done.
And then what was your next step after you kind of finished the manuscript? What was the first thing you did after that?
Kind of regained my senses and was like, whoa, you know, like what just happened? I took a bit of time away from looking at the text because, you know, I went through the whole thing by myself. I didn't get it edited by somebody else, which, you know, it's a plus and a minus. You know, it could be tighter in that regard if I had, you know, hired somebody, but I didn't have money to at that point. Mm. So, you know, maybe we could talk more about that later, but, you know, it's from the ground up my project. And so what I did is I took some time away from the text and started talking to my wife about what strategies we were going to do moving forward. And she's kind of become my de facto creative director. She has her own kind of creative entrepreneurial projects. And so she designed me a website, made me a Facebook group and stuff like that, and started getting the buzz going for it. Mm-hmm. So I started sharing like tidbits from different chapters, you know, my chapter list, like, what are you excited for? You know, starting an email list and giving people a free chapter, giving away different things and trying to get some buzz going for it so that when I hit the publish button, there would be a big spike.
Yeah. Awesome. Now, you said that you were coming out with another book, and I'm curious, how does this all play a role in the long-term game here? Like, I'm curious to know what your ultimate goals are with this. Is this something that you feel like it's just a series of books, or does it turn into something else down the road? Now that you know that you've kind of validated this process and it's working out for you, where do you want to go with it?
Well, I mean, it's really changed the landscape of my life, really, and my view of my career. Like I mentioned at the beginning, there's a trap that a lot of people who in psychology, a lot of psychologists fall into, which is, especially in private practice, you have to really, it's kind of like a business situation where you eat what you kill, right? You have to constantly be working in order to get the money and put food on the table. And people get burnt out from that. And so I'm really pleased to have this success and continue the book series as a means to help me do what I love, which is helping people and directly, you know, one-on-one through therapy or psychological assessment, these other things that I do. I have more freedom to do that as a passion, not as a desperation sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's really freeing to me. And continuing forward, I'm about to release this next book, probably just a little after your book coming out in February, which will be about depression. And after that, I think, you know, I have some other projects that I want to do. It's kind of like once you do one, you have the language for doing it. You have the, I don't want to say muscle memory, but I know the process now.
Right.
So I'm planning on, you know, my kind of project list is going to be this next book. I'm probably going to write a book with another person in my field about dementia. And that one's going to be in a similar tone, but not quite as crass. It's going to be more like a normal person's guide to, you know, does my mom have dementia? How can I tell? What is normal aging? Mm-hmm. In words that they can understand. And then, you know, another thing that I really want to do is make a course, like a e-course. And I want to make it on basically Psych 101 for people that are a little too bored in their normal psychology class.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. So that will be kind of a natural flow from these two books, taking the same tone, taking the same approach, but converting it into a course where people, you know, they're the night before their final, they forgot to study. They need something that's not boring. They need some language that they could understand. And that's what I want to be there for.
Are you building a brand around these books? Like, is there a website and you're building a community there too?
Yeah, you know, it's an offshoot of my website. I do have the domain hardcoreselfhelp.com, and that just redirects to a page on my site where I talk about the book. My main site is just Duff the Psych, P-S-Y-C-H, .com. And I'm trying to get people to get onto my email list right now. I know that's important. I hear you talk about it all the time. So I'm like, okay, okay.
How are you getting people to do that?
Right now, I'm giving people a free chapter of the book when they sign up for it, of my next book on depression, and also kind of taking opportunities wherever I can to redirect people to it. So, for instance, there's a blog post of mine that is – it really blew up virally. It's basically an animated GIF, and it's a exercise where you breathe along to that animated GIF when you're having anxiety, and it was shared all over the place. And so I went into that post and put something at the bottom, trying to redirect people to my email list. So things like that. I have certainly not perfected the email game yet. I'm kind of taking it one step at a time, trying to get this book out, and then, you know, it'll be 20% doing the book and then 80% pushing it out there and hustling with it. But that's where I'm at with it right now.
Nice. I'm looking here on your website because I was just initially curious about that GIF, which I can't. Where could people look up to find that GIF file?
I believe it's duffthepsych.com/stopanxiety. I want to say. Is that right?
I'm going there now. We'll see. This GIF can stop your anxiety.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's basically an animated GIF that I didn't make. I found online, and obviously I give credit for it there, that somebody made, and I thought it was a really good breathing tool because it's like a geometric shape that expands and contracts, kind of like your diaphragm. And so I wrote a little narrative talking about, you know, what's going on in your body when you feel stress or when you feel anxiety, how it's not something that can hurt you physically, and kind of taking you step by step and helping you breathe through it.
That's cool. No, I'm looking at it now. It's kind of hypnotic.
Yeah.
You know, and then in going through your site, I came across this interesting thing where you were giving away 5 signed copies of your book.
Oh, yeah.
And you're using a tool here. Can you talk about this tool and how it's helped you? I've heard other people talk about it. I've never mentioned it before, but I'm curious to know how it has helped you in terms of managing this sort of contest that you did.
Is that the Rafflecopter?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Rafflecopter is a tool that you can use, and you can embed it, you know, in your website, or you can they have like a Facebook app, and they have a lot of different ways to kind of push it out there. But what it does is it allows people to enter drawings, giveaways, through a variety of means. And every method that they use to basically follow you, or, you know, you could set different things. So you could say, follow me on Twitter, or sign up for my email list, or, you know, like my Facebook page, or tweet about this. Mm-hmm. And each of those different things gives them another entry. So it motivates them to, you know, if I do all those things, I'll have 5 entries. And so I'll be more likely to win whatever the prize is. And then you set it for a certain amount of time, and then you can automatically pick the winners just through the app. You just click a button and it will post the winners there.
That's cool. Is that a WordPress plugin?
They have one, I think. They have a lot of different tools there. I would check out the site for the definitive answer to that.
Cool.
But they have code that you could paste in and all that kind of stuff.
That's sweet. Again, that's Rafflecopter. And I remember going to a couple conferences last year where I saw people wearing a shirt with a little helicopter with a smiley face on it. And then, you know, I just made the connection here that that's what it was. So probably a tool worth considering or using. So thank you for sharing that. I just randomly found that coming across your site here. The last question I want to ask you before you finish up, and again, thank you again, Robert, for taking the time and for sharing this. I think this is, you know, it's one of those episodes where you go into it and you listen and you don't really know who the person is, but then you come out of it and you're like, wow, this person was just like me, and then I just have to do those things or take action or people have heard that all the time. I mean, a lot of people reference Shane and Jocelyn Sands in episode 122 is one of the best episodes ever. And nobody knew who they were before they were on the show. And it's, you know, not to say that people can get famous on my show. That's not what it's about. It's about people who are here like yourself, Robert, who are willing to share what you've done, how you've done it, and just give us inspiration as a result. I just want to thank you for doing
absolutely.
That. The final question I have for you is just, you know, for everybody else out there who feels like they have a book in them and they want to get involved with something like you did with, you know, Kindle and the Audible book and CreateSpace, like what are one or two things you can share with them about, you know, you and your journey that, you know, you wish you knew before you got into it so that you can, you know, help these people out who are just getting started?
I think that it's actually gone pretty well for me. Is I really don't have any regrets. And part of the reason for that is because I think it's important to recognize that ebooks in particular are a live format in some ways. You can always update them. You could always change things. You know, I put out a second edition to my book, but before that, I put a few corrections in, changed a few things around as I started getting feedback. You know, my tip would be to go for it. Really, you can write something down, you can upload it to Kindle, and the next day you could be making 70% on every sale from it. You know, so it just go for it. If you have some sort of expertise, if you have some sort of unfair advantage, like you said, something unique about you, it doesn't even have to be exactly what you're doing with your quote unquote real person job. There's no risk to it. I've put literally $0 into this and I've gotten so much back from it. So, you know, it's the time is the currency that you're using here and the passion that you have is the currency that you're using here. So I would say go for it. A few particular tips about, you know, publishing on Kindle, I would say just have some self-awareness about your book. If it's the kind of thing that can spread just based on the title, based on the cover, you know, be aware of that. If it's not, you're going to have to do more legwork on your own. And you want to be aware of your categories that you posted under. You have different categories that you can use. So, for instance, somebody who's making a detective book about somebody who goes back in time and solves mysteries and then donates all the proceeds to cat charities, right? They're probably not the most viral book in themselves. And they want to be careful with their categories. Instead of saying mystery novels, which is probably super saturated, they might want to look at like cat lovers or something like that. Mm-hmm. And for me, the humor category has worked out really well.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Not necessarily just self-help, but it's, you know, self-help and humor. And that has really helped kind of narrow down people looking for my book. So, you know, be aware of the categories, I would say as well.
No, I love that. That's great advice. Thank you, Robert, again, for coming on the show. Where can people find out more about you?
Yeah. What I want people to do most is go to Twitter and follow me, and it's at Duff the Psych. And psych, like we said, is just P-S-Y-C-H, like psychologist. So at Duff the Psych, you can check out my website. And I was wondering if you would mind if I offered a little something-something to your audience.
No, I love something-something.
So I'll put up a separate page. So duffthepsych.com/pat with one T.
Cool.
And I'll put something up there. I'll do like a, let's say a 30% off coupon for the print book, because I can do that through CreateSpace, and we'll see what else I can throw in there.
Awesome. And thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. I'm sure everybody else does too. So you know, best of luck to you in the launch of the next book. I am
thank
sure
you.
By the time that this episode comes out, I believe it will be also out. And so we'll make sure to put a link in the show notes too. To both your books. And again, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Robert, for taking the time.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Robert Duff from duffthepsych.com. That's D-U-F-F the P-S-Y-C-H.com. As always, if you want to get the show notes and the resources and links mentioned in this particular episode, head on over to smartpassiveincome.com/session206. Again, that's smartpassiveincome.com/session206. Robert, thanks again for being on. I also want to thank today's sponsors. First up, one of my favorite tools, probably the best find over the last year in terms of WordPress plugins / web application, and this is CoSchedule. I've gotten to know the team over there very well. This is a tool that my team and I use every single day. I go in there, I see what tasks I need to do, and this is all related to the content that you publish. So this is what we're using to get ahead on our content, to plan ahead, to have the entire team come together in one place to manage the content that gets posted in the future, from the blog content to the social media links and you know, or social media posts. You can actually, ahead of time, schedule your social media post to go out. That's one of the coolest features, I think, is when you write a post, you draft it actually in WordPress itself. You'll see how you can schedule. You can actually write out your tweets belowhand, your Facebook posts belowhand before you publish, and then you can have them set out to go 1 day, 2 day, a week, 2 weeks, however many days after you publish that post, they get sent out automatically. It is attributed to a ton of extra traffic coming to the site. So I highly recommend you check this out. Makes it really easy to do all those things. CoSchedule. If you want to check it out, go to smartpassiveincome.com/CoSchedule. Again, that's smartpassiveincome.com/CoSchedule. Hey, and really quick, I want to let you know about a page on the website that might be really helpful for you. A lot of you are already taking action on what you've heard on the podcast, which is fantastic.
but a lot of you have also messaged me asking for more deeper information, more fine-tuned and highly targeted information for specific problems and pains that you might be having. So what I did was I actually put together a few courses. There's more courses actually coming down the road, but you could check out all the courses and things that are available to you there at smartpassiveincome.com/courses. My team and I have worked really hard to put together the best information that'll help you solve specific problems that you might be having in your business. So if you're just starting out and you need help and you need accountability, handholding, you want a community behind this as well, check it out, smartpassiveincome.com/courses. You can see what's available there. All different kinds of courses to help you through a number of different things you might be working on. And like I said, there are more courses coming down the road too. So one more time, smartpassiveincome.com/courses.
Thank you so much for listening in. I appreciate it. One more time, the show notes available at smartpassiveincome.com/session206. And I look forward to serving you next week because we have a lot of great stuff coming actually this entire year. I'm looking at my content schedule right now, and I just want to just let you know that you're in the right spot. There's a lot of good stuff coming in, including some more coaching calls with other people. That was one that I didn't experimented with last year. I had it wasn't a show or interview necessarily. It was an insider. You guys were sitting in on a coaching call between myself and somebody who was struggling with a launch, and there's more of that kind of stuff coming later too. A lot more success stories from SPI readers and listeners, just like Robert today, and a lot more interviews with experts as well. So a lot coming. Thank you guys again so much. I appreciate you, and I look forward to serving you in the next episode of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. I'll see you on the blog. I'll see you in the Facebook community. For those of you who don't know about that, you can check that out, smartpassiveincome.com/community. Man, so much good stuff out there. Looking forward to serving you guys next week. Till then, cheers. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Starting a business can feel daunting and confusing, but it doesn't have to be. That's why Terry Rice started the Launch Your Business podcast, another awesome show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Each week, Terry shares strategic actions, specific tools, and what he refers to as high-performance mindsets that allow you to thrive under pressure. Recent guests include rapper T.I., Amy Porterfield, and yours truly. And Terry frequently publishes value pack solo shows too, like this one titled How to Write Proposals That Get Accepted and Don't Take Forever to Write. Great stuff. So make sure you listen in to Launch Your Business right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.